Amen. I hate Brother Paul. I hate him. Sucker can play the piano. All the Shirleys play the piano and sing. I hate him. Amen. I told the church, I said, I'm going to learn to play the piano before the year's out last year. I can't even sit down long enough to mess with it. Jesse, we have a boy that lives with, been living with me for 20-some years. His name's Jesse Craigle. He's an evangelist now. He's blind, been traveling around the country. I met him. I'd go up to Connecticut, preach at a camp meeting up there. A couple times a year, Jesse came out and to hear us. He was in a rock band. And my kids, my wife would play the guitar, and she would sing, and we would sing, "There's been a change in me, a change in me. I'm not the man I used to be. Old things are passed away since Christ has set me free. There's been a change." Everybody said I sound like a bullfrog singing. And my wife would play the guitar and my kids would sing. And I always told my kids, sing loud, sing loud. And my daughters still do that. They still sing loud. But Jesse came and he sat on the wall outside the tabernacle. They had an old tabernacle up in Connecticut. It was an old, I forget the name of it. It wasn't a Methodist. It was some other alliance, something like that. They had this old tabernacle. They had cottages, little streets. I mean, it looked like golf carts would go down the streets. And we stayed in those cottages, and man, we had a time. Brother Drummond and Brother Gipp and, I mean, just a bunch of different preachers I preach with. And Brother Blancall and all those guys, we all had a good time up there, had fellowship. And Jesse came out to hear us, and then he started playing the piano for my daughters and my son, and they started playing. And before long, Jesse come down to our place. My wife had said, we're going to have a little cookout or lock in the church. This is how our youth rally got started. We're getting ready to have a youth rally next 2 weeks from now. And our youth rally got started. My wife told some of the ladies in the kitchen, she was in the kitchen working with, she said, we're going to have a lock-in, lock the kids in the church, you know, have a time. So 70-some people from Connecticut showed up. I'm at the church, and they all these people motorhome pulling up, and I said, what in the world is going on? They said, you're having a youth rally. I said, no, I didn't know nothing about it, but that's how I got started. We started doing it that way. And actually, it was in August, and we have an August meeting that goes 8 days, but we moved the youth rally back to May. But that's how Jesse ended up coming. He went to Bible school, and then he's been living with us for 20-some years. He's blind from birth, and he plays piano, and I hate him, too. I hate him. I don't know how to use an iPhone and everything, and he said, you got to have an iPhone. You got to have this. He goes and sets the sound system up. He messes computers. I've come in the house, I had a stinking iPhone. He wanted me to get an iPhone. I got an iPhone. I didn't know how to use it. I threw it at him. I said, fix it. And he fixed it. You know what I mean? And what he does, and I'll be messing with something, I said, I can't get the thing working. And Jesse will do this. He'll come back. He'll come back. Oh, yeah, there's the problem. I said, stinking dog. What a stinking dog. And he fixes it. So, but Jesse's like a son to me. He's been like a son for years and years. Brother Paul, that was good. That was good preaching. Good preaching. Amen. I have a mess similar to that. I was thinking about preaching right along with it, but now I'll go another way. 1 Samuel 22. That's good stuff. Amen. Sin will blind you. Definitely blind you. Amen. 1 Samuel 22. I love, one of my favorite characters in the Bible is David, besides Paul and others. I got some favorites. We went over to the Football Hall of Fame today. You know, I don't get too excited. We all went in there. You know, we see all that stuff and go, oh, that's nice. Yeah, I like NASCAR. I like race cars. I like the Street Outlaws. I like all that stuff. But I tell you what, that stuff doesn't take precedence in my life. That stuff is just secondary. I've had race cars. I've given a Camaro away. I give away that stuff. Don't mean a whole lot. I thank God. I like it. I like it. Don't get me wrong. I like it. I told my wife and I've been looking for a 56 Chevy because that's when we were born, 1956. We want to get a 56 Chevy, and I got a motor for it and all that stuff sitting in the garage. And I want to put in it. But that stuff, before I got saved, I had race cars. I had motors. I had motors in my mother's house. I had wheels on the walls. I had slicks. I had, you know, all this junk. But then after I got saved, I started giving the stuff away. I've been giving stuff away ever since that time. I've never sold a vehicle except for just recently I sold a truck to back to the roofing company that gave it to me. I fixed it. But I've always given away everything, just give it away. And it seems like every time I give something away, more comes back at me. And but I like this stuff. I like messing with that stuff. I like football. I'm a Redskin fan, and they changed the names to Commanders. I hate that. And man, it just seems like the world's just falling apart, ain't it? Yeah. When the Redskins get, you know, anyway, the world is falling apart, if you haven't noticed. It is falling apart. And like I said last night, I'm sorry about Joe Biden's from Delaware, and we're from Delaware, and I'm sorry about that. But, man, it's a mess. It's a mess. I'd like to meet Donald Trump. I really would. I prayed. I said, I'd like to meet that old boy. I'd like to meet him. I'm not saying he's the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer, that's for sure. But I like to meet him. I like to witness to him, talk to him. We got to Hall of Fame today, and there was a Hall of Famer there, and we got to talking to him. And I said to him, I said, are you saved? And he said, he pulled out his medallion or whatever it was, and he started showing me about, you know, I'm a Christian. I said, yeah, but you trust in that to get you to heaven? And I told him how I got saved. I told him just a few minutes. I told him I was a Baptist preacher, but I said, I'm not trusting the Baptist church. And when we shook hands as we left, I said, I hope you're not trusting the Catholic Church to get you to heaven. And we shook hands. He said, nothing is by coincidence. He said, I believe that. So he took the track, and Lord willing, he'll use it and read it. Amen. All right. 1 Samuel. What did I say? 1 Samuel? No, 2 Samuel 21. 2 Samuel 21. There we are. 2 Samuel 21. Amen. It's good to be here. Praise the Lord. I want to thank the church for all the accommodations that you've given us. Man, what a blessing. Amen. Amen. I'll call my wife tomorrow or Saturday when I'm heading back. I'll call my wife and I'll say, working my way back to you, babe, with a burning love inside. And I told the church that Sunday, and one of the guys came up to me, was in the side room, and he goes, I got a song for your wife to sing to you when you call her and tell her to sing that song to her. I said, what's that? He goes, hit the road, Jack. Don't come back no more. I said, that's good. That's really good. Amen. Well, like I said, one of my favorite characters is David in the Bible. And 2 Samuel chapter 21, I said 22, chapter 21. It says, and David went, verse 12, and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son, from the men of Jabesh Gilead, which had stolen them away from the streets of Bashan, where the Philistines had hanged them, and when the Philistines had slain Saul in Gilboa. And he brought up from hence the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son, and they gathered the bones of them that were hanged, and the bones of the Saul and Jonathan, his son, buried they in the country, Benjamin of Zelah, the sepulcher of Kish, the father, his father, and they performed all that the king commanded, and after that God was entreated for the land. In chapter 21, you'll find it was a famine, and the reason why, because of what Saul did to the Gibeonites, and because they had a peace treaty with Israel. That was one of them things, a thorn in the eye right there. That was another thorn right there with Gibeon. And they made them slaves, but they being a thorn, and Saul thought he's going to take care of it, but they made a promise. Joshua made a promise. But then it goes on down, talking about David in verse 15. It says, moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. Isn't that something? They're still going on. That war's still going on. I know the Philistines, these are the Palestinians, but they're not the same. The Philistines were different. But they're, in a way, they're still the enemies of Israel. And it says, and David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. And it says, and Ishbenob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, and he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. And Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, secured him and smote the Philistines and killed them. And the men of David sware unto him, saying, thou shalt not go no more out with us to battle. Thou shalt not quench the light of Israel. And it came to pass after this that there was again a battle with the Philistines of Gob. Hushai, but God bless him. Sushat, which was of the sons of the giants, and there was again a battle of Gob and with the Philistines, and Elnathan, the son of Jerem, a Bethlehemite slew the brother of Goliath the Gittite, and the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. And there was yet a battle in Gath. And there was war of there was a man of great stature. Notice all the battles. All the battles keep coming up. And the Philistines that had on every hand six fingers and on every foot six toes, 24 in number. And he also was born to the giants. And when he had defiled Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimei, the brother of David, slew him. These four were born to the giants in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Father, I pray, God, now you'd bless the message, Lord. I pray you help us, to, God, get something from it. And I pray, God, you use it, Father, for our daily life. And, God, we look at things that we face day by day. And, Lord, I know they were facing giants. And, my Father, I pray, God, I know my brothers and sisters here are going to face some things in their life. And I pray you give them victory. Help them not to back up. Help them not to let up. Help them not to shut up, God. Help them to keep on standing up for your glory. And we'll thank you, Father, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, giants come in all kinds of forms. We know that. I mean, you know, sometimes giants come in finances and health and children going astray and problems in the church and all kinds of other things that giants come in, especially in this day and time. But this was a real battle. Can you imagine eyeball to eyeball fighting somebody? I mean, our fight that we have is a lot harder than what they had there. You say, well, wait a minute. They had to eyeball, had to fight. David started out, man, when he was a young man, he goes up in 1 Samuel chapter 17, goes to fight, or actually he doesn't even go out to fight. He's taking cheese and bread and everything to the captains of the armies, and his father Jesse sent him to go see what was going on in the battle. And he finds out 40 days, they're one on one side, 40 on the other side. My wife and I got to go to Israel. We went into that valley. We went to the brook and, you know, we picked up stones and all that stuff. We got to see all that. I could picture them on both sides. But the Philistines, they pulled a trick on Israel. What they did, they sent this giant out there. And tricked them into it. This standoff. And that we sent this giant out there. He's like 9'6" and or whatever it might be. Could be what a cubic is. A cubic could be 18 inches or 22 inches. Whatever that giant was, I mean, whatever it was, if he came through that door tonight and said, "I'm going to kill you," I guess this place would have the windows and doors and everything would be gone. I mean, we'd be out the doors trying to get out of here. But David saw that guy, and this giant came out in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and says, "Give me a man that we might fight." And you know the story. David said, "Is there not a cause?" And there is a cause. There's a cause for us today. I mean, we're going to have giants we're going to face. We're going to face some things. And there's a cause that we might stand for God. And that man, this giant came out there. And like I said, I think they got tricked into it. I think they got suckered into it or conned into it. And they sent it out there. And so for 40 days and 40 nights, this giant came out and kept saying, "Give me a man." And you know what? You'll find out the enemy always lies to you. He'll always lie. The devil never tell you the truth. He'll never do that. He'll lie to you. And the world will lie to you. And he said, "Give me a man. If you win, we'll serve you. If you win, we'll serve you. If you win, we'll serve you." And I got it all mixed up. Anyway, whatever it was. And they were saying, whoever wins, you're going to serve that person or that nation. And so Goliath come out there and said that. And for 40 days and 40 nights, the Bible says, when the men were in array, they came down, they stood in attention, and Saul standing there. And Saul should have been the one to go battle, and Saul didn't. The Bible says he was head and shoulders above all the men. And all the men came and stood in array. David's three brothers were there and all that stuff. And you know the story when Samuel went to choose a king, and he thought Saul, David's brothers, he thought, man, surely that's the guy, and wasn't. God knows the man. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. And God knows your heart. God knows my heart. He knows where your heart is. And he knows what you're thinking about, what you love. And they always say what a man loves is what he becomes and what he's thinking out, what he wants, and all those things. He'll shoot for that. He'll go for it. So here Goliath comes out, and Saul trembles before him. And he 40 days and 40 nights, that's a long time to put a battle in array. That's a long time to come out and stand at attention day by day and have this guy cuss you out. for 40 days. I read about when David, when he went out and fought Goliath, and you know the story where he said, "Is there not a cause?" and all that. He beats Goliath and with his own weapon and cuts his head off. But God, I believe God sent that rock out and man hit that Goliath in the head when David picked up them five smooth stones and threw that thing and it hit David in the head. And I believe that stone was going through the air. You say, "You believe stones going to talk?" Yeah, Jesus said that. He said, if the stones, if the people didn't cry out, "Hosanna," the stones would cry out. You say, I believe in nature. Nature right now would cry out and want the Lord. I believe nature wants the Lord to come back. I believe that. And most Christians don't want the Lord to come back except for those that's trying to serve him. And most Christians are living this day and time don't want God to come back. But here, Goliath comes out there and man, he comes out there and David takes that stone and hits him right in between the eyes and knocks him. And Goliath fell forward and David takes his own sword and cuts his head off. But anyway, David goes out there and I believe it was a con by Goliath and by the Philistines to try to get them, to give them one man because they knew Goliath was going to kill him. They knew it. They knew that there was nobody that could stand up against Goliath. Nobody. But David goes down there and takes him on. And he takes them five smooth stones. And what he figured, David had already been with God. And he already told Saul, he said, "I've already been with God. I fought a lion. I fought a bear." I'm going to tell you something. If you had a lion come in here, a mountain lion, or a, not a mountain lion, but an African lion weighing about 500 pounds, we'd vacate again. And you found a bear come in here, we'd vacate. But David faced them. Why? Because he loved the sheep. He loved that little sheep that they took. And he went and grabbed him. Bible says he grabbed it by the beard, man. And he grabbed that thing and he killed that bear. He killed that lion. I tell you what, David had a courageous spirit, very courageous. And David, he created men that had that same spirit about them. And, I've said this when I was over, I'm thinking over at the football Hall of Fame. I thought, how cool would it be if we could see in eternity and maybe just play around David's mighty man to take on a football team. I mean, wouldn't that be wild? I could see them all down, hut, hut, and then a whew. David's mighty man with some bad boys. When you go down into a pit in the middle of winter and fight a lion just for fun of it, brother, I tell you what, that's that's a bad man. That's a bad man. But here, this chapter, David's near the end of his life. He's getting old and he goes out to battle. He's decided he's not going to stay home no more. I mean, why? In 2 Samuel chapter 11, he got in trouble with Bathsheba. He stayed home. And I tell people all the time, you stay home when you should be in church and when you should be doing something for God, you're going to get in trouble. You'll get in trouble when you stay home. But David made up his mind. He wasn't going to stay home this time. He wasn't going to cause any sin more in his life. And David goes out and he says, "I'll go with you guys. I know those giants are out there, but I got four more stones that I didn't use. I got four more stones." And man, you could say that's why he picked up five, because Goliath had five brothers and cousins. And David put them stones. I imagine David still had those stones in his pouch. But David went out with his men, and it says moreover, verse 15, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David went down and his servants with him. Now, David had some men, brother. I'll tell you what, he had some bad men. He went down and he said, he's probably in his about 60s by this time, late 50s, early 60s. And he went down, David went down and served with him and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. And boy, I'll tell you what, there's going to be times when in this life you're going to start waxing faint as a Christian. I've said this in our church and I've said it everywhere I go. I said most Christians last 5 years. It's sad. Most Christians last 5 years. And some of them will last more than 5 years, but their heart's not in the serving God. Their hearts are sitting in church. I mean, they're in church, but they're not trying to win somebody to Jesus Christ. I told her, I said, "Why don't you pray God give you a soul this year before the year's out that you can lead to Jesus Christ?" I mean, man, that's a battle right there. You talking about a giant? You talking about a giant in your life? I've had a lot of giants in my life since I've been saved. I mean, since I've been saved from the get-go, I've had giants. I'm facing giants. And I'm not saying it was God that helped me. God did it. And I know it was God. And David faced some giants, and he faced Goliath, and he took his head off. And David held that head up, and man, he took that head back to Saul, and man, he had the sword and all that stuff. And David had some victories. And I, you know what I like to see? I like to see people get victories in their life. Victories is important in a Christian's life. If you don't have a victory in your life, I'll tell you what, you'll walk around wondering if God is real. The devil will start whispering in your ear saying, is God really real? Because you haven't had no victories. God's just looking for a man. If you, God's got a man, you and God are a majority. Really, God's the majority. But if God will put you in, allow you to be a part of whatever he's doing, it's a great thing. I just want to get in on what God's doing. Amen. And I'll tell you what, God's looking for some men. He's looking for some women. We got women that got more guts than men most of the time. About witness. My mother, man, when she got saved, my mama, she was something else, man. She would go out and she'd wear a shirt. Scripture shirts. She had no hope in the Pope, and she'd have scripture on. And man, she'd fly an airplane, get on a plane, and she'd be walking down there. And you know, who's going to reject an old woman? And she'd go down and say, can I tell you about Jesus? Let me give you something to tell you about Jesus. They said, oh, sweet old woman. But she would tell them, don't you go to hell. Don't you go to hell. I mean, man, when I started pastoring the church up there in Delaware. My mother would come up, and my father would come up to see me. My father, I told you last night, my father was the one who taught me how to steal, do a lot of bad things. And my dad put beer in my milk bottle when I was a baby. And I love that stuff. I drink beer like it was water. I went out and stole Colt 45 trucks and just unloaded them and sell, and you know, giving out liquor and beer and all that stuff to people. But my dad and my mom started coming to church. I was real proud to be able to have them come to church. My dad would come to church and he would get up there and I'd say, anybody got a testimony? My dad would stand up and he'd start crying. And my mother would say, oh, shut up. If you can't talk, then shut up, and if you're going to cry. And we thought that was funny, man. That was funny. My father was a hard man. After he got saved, man, he got real tender. And my father, I said, Dad, come on up here and give a word testimony. He said, I ain't coming up there. He walked up here. He says, I was a bad man. He started crying. I was a bad man. I was a bad man. I did a lot of bad things. I taught my son. He goes, well, I wasn't as bad as he was. And he pointed to me. And my mother, she would stand up and she would testify and how good God was to us. My mother went to court with me, I don't know how many times, and I'll never forget, my mother would say, and she'd give a testimony, she said, every time I went to court, I just wanted the ground to open up and swallow me because him. And God did something. God moved in. And God did something in my life, did something in my parents' life. Boy, I tell you what, God did something in all of our lives. Boy, you're talking about giants, giants that come in your life. Every one of us is going to face a giant. You got to be prepared for it. You got to be prepared. Make up your mind. I mean, you know what? You get your mind made up when the giant shows up in your life, you got the battle almost halfway won or three quarters won. If you make up your mind, because you're going to have some battles and you're going to have some giants show up. My wife, back in 2000, right when the turn of the century, the 2000, right when that happened, my wife had an accident right in front of our house. Man, I was coming down the road and I felt a real heaviness on me. And I was riding, I'm pastoring the church. I'm coming down the road. We took a little girl in that was from a children's home. And I'm riding down the road and I felt real heavy. And I called home. I kept calling home. And my phone kept ringing. And finally, this girl answered the phone. She's crying. I said, her name was Sheena. I said, Sheena, I told you not to be on the phone when, I thought she was maybe using the phone talking to somebody. I said, you're supposed to do it at night. And she said, Mrs. Ryman had an accident. And I said, what? What happened? And she said, there's a man right in our driveway. And man, I shot home and I came to the house. I came to the state troopers, had the road blocked off. I watched the helicopter go off and I didn't know what was going on. Man, I pulled down the road and I asked the state trooper, I said, what happened? He said, well, guy on a motorcycle. And I said, what in the world, man? And I pulled down there and there was a motorcycle laying in the yard. My wife's van was sitting there and she didn't see him. The sun was in her eyes. He was coming down the road. The guy was moving pretty good. And she had turned in our driveway and hit him and killed him right there. Right now, you're talking about a giant showing up in your life. My wife and I cried for 3 days thinking that man died and went to hell. You're talking about a giant. I had Brother Squiggy, these men here, others came to my house because the guy was in the gang and they thought it was going to be trouble. And man, me and my wife, I held her for 3 days crying. She said, I sent somebody to hell. And we cried together. And I said, oh God, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. And one day, about 3 days later, God knocked on the door. And he knocked on our door and he said, I'm Pastor so-and-so. I pastor the church down the road here. He says, I just wanted to come by and tell you that I led Rocky to the Lord a month ago before he got killed. Man, we were shouting it out. I was preaching at our church one Sunday morning. I was preaching there, and I'm telling you, God allows giants to come in your life, but I'll tell you what, God allowed them giants to go down too. If you just stand for Him, if you'll trust Him, no matter what, pastor of the church, you're going to find out. There's going to be giants coming after you. I've been pastoring 38 years. I know about giants coming at you. And you're going to have it. I mean, I've had my wife even say, you love them people more than you love your wife. We've had giants come at us. And man, we've had all kinds of things happen. Man, you say, well, you want to run? No, man. I want to stand. I want to stand. Why? Because greater is He that's in you than He's in the world. I know we can live a victorious life, brother. I know God said, I did all this stuff before I was saved. I mean, you know, living for the devil. I can do that for God. Amen. Man, I stood up in church and I was preaching on a Sunday morning. Had a woman come down and was hit the altar. And I reached out and said, ma'am, did you get saved? She said, yes. She said, you know who I am? I said, no, ma'am, I don't. She said, I'm Rocky's sister.
Wow.
The guy that got killed. I went to the funeral. I went to the funeral to go pass out tracts and tell everybody I was sorry. And the deacons, brothers, they said, man, you ain't going to go by yourself. They said, them guys probably kill you if you go in. I said, that'd be fine. That'd be fine. And I went to the funeral. I started witnessing. I went to the family. I apologized to them. And, man, I hugged them, hugged the mama, hugged all of them. And I told my wife, I said, we'll move. We'll move. We got a cross at the end of our driveway. It has Rocky on it. I said, we'll move. And she said, no, we won't move. We don't have to have a move. We go to court. They take my wife's license because of a tragedy that happened, the fatality. And they take her license. We're staying in the courtroom. We'll tell you what happened in the courtroom. I mean, you talk about giants that come in your life. And God moved in our life and moved into things to show us that He is God. Yeah. And He can handle whatever problem, whatever giant that comes in my life. Mm-hmm. He'll handle it. We went into the courtroom. My wife, we're staying outside the courtroom. My wife's looking at me. She's shaking like a leaf. And she said, I hope the family doesn't show up. I turned around. There was the mama right there. And I said, Mrs. Burst, this is my wife, Linda. And they hugged each other and cried. The brothers that was in the motorcycle gangs, they were standing there. They were mad. They were mad. They said, brother got killed. I understand that. I've had people call me up and say, they're going to sue you. I said, that's fine. I understand. And then what happened was we went in the courtroom. They called my wife up. She said, can you go up with me? I said, no. And so she walks up there and they said, Your Honor, there was a fatality. The whole courtroom went quiet. And he goes, there's a family here. And the mama and the daddy and the brother was sitting up on the balcony. He said, would they like to say anything? The brother came down and said, yes, sir, Your Honor, I want to say something. He said, my brother had two kids. What is the court going to do about that? My wife's standing there crying. And he goes, they had insurance? And he said, yeah. And then the judge said, that's another matter. You just have to take that. If you want to sue them, what have you. So they took my wife and took her over to the side on a pew and put her right here. And that mama was up there in the top. And the courtroom, the bailiff was over here. And he was walking over. And then we seen that mama come down the side of a hall, little aisle. And she came down. So the bailiff, they turned around. Everybody in the courtroom thought it was going to be trouble. And the bailiff come running over there. And that woman leaned down and come up to my wife and leaned over and cried, laying there crying, saying, I forgive you. Man, the whole courtroom started crying. We was outside. My wife said, I don't want to go out the front door. I want to go out the back. So we went out the back and some guy in the alley, I'm walking down the alley and the guy goes, hey, you. And I put my wife behind me. I said, yeah, what? And he come running at me. And he ran up to me and he said, God was in that courtroom, man. God was in that courtroom. I said, I know. He went, choom. You're going to have some giants you're going to face. Boy, that's going to come. And boy, it's going to be unexpected. When David went out there that day, and man, he wasn't expecting this was going to happen to him, where he got faint. There's going to be times where you need somebody to help you and pray. The Bible says this, I thank God for our church. Amen. The Bible says where two or three gather together in His name, there He's in the midst.
Amen.
That's why we need each other. Sometimes you think, well, nobody needs me. Oh, yeah, we need you, man.
Amen.
We need you to serve God. We need you to pray. I tell you, I hope you come to prayer meeting and pray. David was facing some giants that, man, he when he was young, he was ready for it. But here he is older. You know what? As you get older, you're going to face giants that you didn't face, that you were ready for something when you were younger. When I first got saved, I was 18 years old. But there's going to be giants. I'll be 68 coming up. But I'll tell you why. I know there's more giants coming down the pike. There's going to be more. Why? David had four show up at the end of his life. They didn't show up. Only one showed up at the beginning of his life. You're going to have some giants that's going to hit you. It's going to hit you. They're going to come after you. I mean, man, if you're called of God and you're saved and you belong to God, the devil's going to come after you. And the giant, you say, well, you're trying to scare me. No, I'm trying to tell you to put on the whole armor of God, man. I mean, you better stay with God, stay in the Word of God, stay close to God. I mean, stay in the Word, stay in church and stay in prayer. And you say, like my brother was talking about, sticking your eye or the thorn in your eye. You say, what happens? We're human. We always start backing off of things. We start backing up a little bit. Say, well, let somebody else do it. Let somebody else. I'm going to tell you, folks, you need to stand the line. Amen. You need to stand the line. Amen. Why? Man, why? The giants are coming. They're coming. And the battle is going to come. I mean, folks, this giant, these giants, man, they're all together. They're all together. They'll come after you. They'll have. The Bible says this. Look at verse 16. It says, "Ishbi-nab, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, and he was being girded with a new sword." And that dude had a new sword. He said, "Man, I'll tell you what. Nobody's blood. The first David's blood is going to be on my sword. This sword right here, David." He killed my uncle, my brother, whatever he was. He said, man, I'm going to put his blood on this sword. I'm going after him. I mean, folks, David had a great victory back when he was young. And the devil knows that when you have victories and you get out of sin out of your life, you start, man, drugs starts leaving, drinking starts leaving, the smoking starts leaving. And I'll tell you this, if you're still smoking, still drinking, God have mercy. I mean, the giants are going to tear your head off. But, man, you start walking with God, fellowship with the Lord, and, man, the things start coming out of your life, and, man, you start getting rid of stuff out of your life, and things start happening, man, boy, I tell you what, the devil says, oh, I got to get this dude. I got a new sword. I'm going to tear his head off. I'm going to get him good. And you say, what, brother, you trying to just shake us up a little bit? Yeah, I'm trying to shake you up, man. Be ready. Be ready.
Amen.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And, man, this battle, the battle we're in is a lifetime. You know what? You find David still fighting the battle, still going on. This battle we're in is going to be to the day you die. I remember I went over to see some people, and man, they when they were dying, and man, they were fighting. They said, pray for me about this, pray for me about that. And I remember hearing a story about an old woman. She was about 80-some years old, called for a preacher to come over and pray over her. And she said, she was dying. She said, preacher? And she said, will you pray for me? He goes, yes. And he got down on his knees, getting ready to pray. And she grabbed his hand. She goes, she says, I've got a real problem with lust. And he went, what? You're 80 years old. And she said, well, I do. I just want to tell you that. Will you pray for me about that? He thought, my Lord God. this woman, man. But you know what shows you? The flesh is your enemy. The flesh is your enemy. David fought this battle, man, and thank God. The Bible says verse 17 says, Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, secured him. You know what happened? Abishai was his nephew. And Abishai, when David got faint, Abishai stepped up and took care of the problem. Abishai was Joab's brother. And he says he secured him. And it says smote the Philistine and killed him. I mean, folks, all giants are together. David was going, he wasn't going to stay home no more. He was going to fight the battle to the end. That's what he made up his mind. He said, I'm not going to get into sin again. I'm not going to stay home and start looking around and checking, doing things I shouldn't be doing. I'm not going to waste that time. I'm going to go out with the men. I'm going to stand with the men. I'm going to fight with the men. That's why I appreciate Brother Art going out on the street.
Amen.
You know what? He ain't giving up.
Yeah.
He ain't giving up. I thought about if I was 90 years old and man, he said, I'm going blind. And all those things happening in my life, I wonder, would I still be doing what he's doing? Would you be still doing what he's doing?
Amen.
You know what? He said, I made up my mind. I'm going to fight to the end. I'm going to stand for God to the end. I'm going to say this. Yesterday's battles ain't going to do the trick for the day. Yesterday's battle, you can't live on yesterday's battle. I've had a lot of battles in the past. But I know this. My yesterday's battles cannot take care of the battles that I'm facing in the future.
Amen.
I mean, yesterday's battles is great. I love talking about yesterday's battles that we've won. I like that. I like being able to talk about the things I've won and the Lord's done in my life. Yesterday's battles will not kill the giant of today. Are you going to have to have a new victory coming up every day?
Yeah.
I mean, the Bible talks about this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. If your faith is not growing and growing, and you're growing daily in faith, you're not going to overcome any victories and get any victories in your life. You're not overcoming any problems and coming up. What happens? I've seen Christians go backwards. I've seen Christians go so far, they start growing, and they'll go like this. They'll go and go and go for God, and all of a sudden something will come in their life, and they'll stop. And they'll stop right there, and sometimes they'll get mad at God. They'll get mad at the church.
Yep.
They'll get mad at somebody in the church.
Right.
And they'll start doing this. They'll start making excuses.
Yep, that's right.
They start backing up.
Oh, yeah.
They start backing up, and before long, man, they have no victories. All they can do is live from the past. I don't want to live on just the past.
Amen.
I thank God the past is what it is. It's the past.
Amen.
But what about today?
Yes,
what about today? You know what? You know what? You know what the Philistines learned? I'll tell you what the Philistines learned. That dude learned. He said, man, I got me a new sword. I'm gonna kill David. You know what else they learned? They started wearing their helmets with a nose guard. They learned. Why? They read the Bible. That David came out there. And the Bible says he didn't stand back and go, you stay over there, I'll stay back here and here. No, he went running full force. Sometimes the only way you're going to face your problems, man, face your giant, is run at it. I liked what was Earl Hughes. We used to have Earl Hughes come to our church every August meeting. And I don't know if y'all have ever seen the Crazy White Church on video. You look up Crazy White Church, you'll see our church. And you'll see guys jumping in the baptismal pool, going crazy, going to run around. And Earl Hughes was singing. He was singing, you know, what was that song he was singing?
We'll be gone.
Yeah, I'll be gone. And he was singing about, when the tribulation enters, I'll be gone. And places blew up. People running the aisles and people, you know, and one boy, he's a pastor in Mississippi, took his coat and threw it around and wrapped it around Earl's head while he was singing. And you could hear Earl going, and Earl Hughes used to always say this. He said, give yourself to suffering. That's not popular. Saying, give yourself to the hard things that you want to run from. You know when giants come? You want to run from it.
Yeah.
Run from your problems. I had an old pastor that I took over for. You know what the old pastor did? The old pastor was from England. Like I told you last night, he was opposite of me. I was, you know, doing things. He was real proper and everything. He left our church after 1 year and went and he lived in the house on the church property and started a Bible study on Monday night. Everybody that hated my guts went there. On Monday night, I pull up at the church. I forget about, and he'd have lights on and everything. They'd had a Bible study. He ran it just like a church for 10 years. 10 years. And I didn't have nobody for a year and a half. I'm sitting in a big old building, nobody, for a year and a half. And he had a Bible study, and at times I would go over there and sneak and peek in the window to see who was over there. And the devil called on my back and said, what in the world are you doing, man? What are you doing? But you know what? We just kept on. I knew God wanted me there. We just kept on. And God turned around and started saving people right and left. That was a giant we faced.
Amen.
And his sons came down and both of his boys come down. They're older than I am. They put their arms around me. They said, we're with you. He said, God called my dad to build a building. He said, God called you to build a church.
Yeah.
He said, do you know how to build a church? You going to write a book? No, I don't know how to do nothing, man. He said, how do you do? Don't ask me, man. I just do whatever I do.
Yeah.
I just do it. And man, if usually God blesses it.
Amen.
Usually. Yesterday's victory is not going to take care of the giant today. You're going to face some giants. Every one of us is going to have them. I don't know what your giant is going to be. It could be financial. I know some Christians that had a lot of money, end up going broke. There was a young man in our church. He just called me today. And he was a financial loan officer in a bank. and he got saved. I went to his grandfather's funeral, and I passed out tracts, witnessed everything, all Catholic. He wanted to kill me. I let a boy named Roe. Roe lived with Brother Squeaky for him and his wife for years, about a year maybe. And then he ended up getting saved. And man, Roe wanted me to go witness to his family. We seen, man, a lot of people in his family. Matter of fact, we seen this man right here. We seen probably about 30, 40 people in his family get saved.
Yeah. Amen.
30, 40 people.
Yeah.
He came to church, and man, pews started filling up with them. Then we had some other families, man. God started saving people, and man, the families started filling up. We had 90 teenagers at one point.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Used to be, I like it. I like it. Teenagers running the aisles, jumping over, they tear up stuff, but I'll tell you what, I like it. I told her, I said, I thought about putting a rope in the middle of the aisle so I could swing on it as a. Or put it right here where I can swing off the pulpit. But I'll tell you what, those are victories that was passed, but I want some victories today. I don't want to live off that. A lot of people like to live off the past.
Right.
I can't live off the past. You can't live off the past. You need victories today. You got any victories? I mean, man, how about, did you get your prayers answered? I told you about that. There's a preacher. When I get home, I'm going to go pick up a preacher. He's 94 years old, and he's a hero. He's a hero like Brother Art. And this preacher helped build our church brick by brick, and he helped. He's Italian. That dude has jokes the whole time I'm with him. He's telling jokes. I'm falling over laughing. I'm helping him, and I'm almost falling down because I'm helping him walk, and he's telling me a joke. And, man, I'm laughing. And you know what that dude does? He goes in a restaurant. He wrote his own tracts. His wife has passed away a while back, and he said this. He said, Alan, I'm going to tell you, man. He said, if God don't come back soon, I'm going to go get him. I'm just going to go get him. He said, I think he's asleep or something, man. The clock's right. We were in a restaurant. In fact, we'd be picking up during the youth rally and take him out to eat. He'll go out and he'll have tracks on him. And he'll say to the lady, she'll come up and he'll say, hey, let me ask you a question. And they'll say, yeah. And they're laughing because he's telling them a joke. And he says, does God always answer your prayers? And usually they lie. The waitresses lie. They'll say, oh, yeah, God. He says, well, tell me one. And they can't think of one. And they'll go, whoa, I can't think of one right now. He goes, well, I'll tell you one he can answer right now.
Yeah.
He never fails. And he starts telling them how to be saved.
Amen.
I'm sitting across from him thinking, man, I hope I'm like that.
Yeah.
Amen.
Like him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Help us.
Victories, man. When's the last time you had a victory? Prayer answered. Somebody got saved. God took care of something for you.
Yeah,
I mean, man, those are victories. They're giants that show up. I mean, folks, I believe this. I believe those giants, I mean, right now, facing the giants, you can't see them.
No.
I thought about preaching on spirits tonight, but I'll wait that for, maybe I'll do that tomorrow night. But, man, you can't see them. They come at you. Things happen. The devil will start planting stuff in your mind. You ladies, I remember going to Bible school. Women, the devil works on women harder than a man. Ladies, you got to stay occupied. You got to keep that mind occupied. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And I know I was going to Bible school. I come home. I was doing a roof. I'm a roofer. I still do roofing. And I'm a mechanic and a little bit of everything. But I remember I come in the house. And I was coming back from doing a roof in Dephaniac Springs, Florida. I was going to Bible school in Pensacola. And I remember I came in the house and my wife was standing at the stove. She's turning some soup or whatever it was. And she's standing there and I said, did you get my shirt ironed? And I'm going to the room. She goes, yeah, it's in the room, hanging in the closet. And I stopped and I looked at her and I said, what's wrong with you? Are you all right? She goes, nothing. When a woman says nothing, y'all leave it alone, man. But men, inquiring minds always. And if she says nothing, leave it alone, man. I'm telling you, leave it alone. I've learned in the past, leave it alone. Just get out of the room as fast as you possibly can. And man, I said, what's going on? She said, nothing. I said, oh, it's just the devil. And she turned around, and I'm not kidding. She went, it's you! And I said, me? What are you talking about me? I'm out there working. What are you talking about? And, you know. We were 20-some years old then. We haven't had a good fight in a long time. Thank God. Well, I'll probably get in a big fight on the way home. No, or back. No. Thank God. Thank God. I told you before I got saved, where we fought, I just pull up in front of her house and drag her out by the hair of her head. Before I got saved. 15 years old. I drag her out and throw her on the sidewalk. Her mother be cussing at me out the window, and her brother come out, we'd be fighting. And she's a fighter. She's a fighter. And I jumped back. I had a 69 a Shelby. Totaled that thing. Everything I got my hands on, I totaled. And she ran around there and punched me right in the face as I was getting in the car. I'd jump out and chase her around a bit. And she said to me a couple times, "We haven't had a good fight in a long time." I said, "No, I don't want to get in no fight." No. But I don't know why I told you all that. Yesterday's victories. That's funny. I'll do stuff in front of my grandkids, and they'll. Yeah, I got a little granddaughter. She's like, I call her the Mamaw's pit bull, and and she's like 10. How old? She's like 12 years old, and I walk in the house. I go, Mamaw, and man, she'll get up because I always like to mess with Mamaw. It's fun. I mean, you know what? We can have fun. You know that?
Amen.
I can mess with them. But anyway, I don't know why I told you all that. But anyway, I know what I told you. She was. She says, "You is the devil." I said, "It was the devil." She said, "No, it's you." And I recognized that it was the devil. But I walked over and I grabbed her and I just put my arm around her. I didn't grab her. I put my arm around her. And I said, "Let's pray." And we went down on our knees and prayed. And when we finished praying, I said, "Now, what's wrong?" She said, "You were right. You're right. It was the devil." 20 years went by. I'm going to tell you something, men. Women get harder as the years go on. These women look serious here. How many of y'all can say amen? You better not. You better not. 20 years later, it happened again. And I went to go pray with her. She wouldn't pray with me. I said, "It's the devil." She said, "No, it's you." I said, "Let's pray." "Pray yourself." No, she's going to appreciate me telling you all that. Yesterday's victories, man. Ain't going to take care of the giants that you're facing today.
Amen.
Giants always, they always lie to you. They're always getting smarter. They're always growing. And you know, that's why the Bible tells us to grow in the Lord. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you're not growing, you're not learning how to fight a giant. Because why? The giants are getting smarter. They're growing. The Bible tells us to grow in the word. You might be able to fight a giant, but I'll tell you what, sometimes the giant's going to come at you. It's going to come at you in a way that you didn't expect. The Bible tells us not to be afraid of sudden fear that comes upon you. I've had things come at us suddenly. And man, I said, where in the world did that come from? And things are going to come in your life. It's going to cause you to think, what in the world? But God's trying you. He allows you to be tried. Why? Not to hurt you. It's to strengthen you. And God wants you to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. God wants you to be strong. Why? He knows those giants are going to come. He knows it. David had these four giants. You read there, it's four giants that his men had faced. David trained men. He trained men. They followed his example. They followed his example to fight the giants. And when David couldn't on his own, they stepped up and helped him. There's going to be times when you're going to let your pride. I'm real, real proudful. We're all men are proudful. We don't want nobody to know that what we're going through, with things that's happening in our life. We'll fight. I tell people all the time, if I'm going through something, I ain't going to tell you. I'll tell God. But I'll tell you, at times, folks, we need each other. We need to pray. Where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he's in the midst. And boy, I'll tell you, ladies, you need another lady that you can know that's just not gossiping. just to know how to pray. Prayer is a big, it's one of our weapons that we fight against the devil. That's one of our weapons. And boy, I tell you, if you learn how to pray, get a hold of God. I tell you, going to Bible school in Greenville, South Carolina, I'll never forget, I prayed. I was in Bible school. I couldn't take my final semester test because I didn't have my bill paid. And my wife and I got down and prayed. And boy, in a way, I thought, praise God, I ain't got to study. Because I didn't have the money to take the test. I thought, praise God, I ain't got to study. The Lord fixed me. And my wife and I got down and prayed. I mean, I really prayed seriously. My wife really prayed because we didn't have the money. And my wife said to me one morning I was leaving when all this stuff happened. She said, I wish we had enough money to go to Wendy's. That's when Wendy's first came out. I was delivering meat to Wendy's. I was driving a truck delivering meat. And we didn't have the money to pay our school bill. We had children trying to pay our rent, all that stuff. And my wife said, I wish we had enough money to go to Wendy's tonight and get a hamburger. And then I'm at work, and she calls me. She said, and for me to call back, I called home. She said, somebody paid your school bill. I went, oh, no. I mean, oh, yeah, praise God. I didn't study. And she said, somebody paid your school bill. They want you to meet them at 5 o'clock at the church. I went, oh, Lord, God, I'm out there in my truck studying, trying to study everything. And I go to the church at 5 o'clock. It was in Greenville, South Carolina. It was on White Horse Road, Tabernacle Baptist Church. And I never forget, I pulled up in there. There was a guy sitting on the car. And the guy was sitting on the car, and I pulled up, and I got out of the car, and he goes, hey, you Alan Ryman? I said, yeah. He said, I got something for you. He walks over and hands me an envelope. I said, man, I don't know you. I'm real suspicious. Anybody don't give me something? I said, man, I don't know you. He said, well, I don't know you either. I said, what's this? He said, oh, it's a long story. I said, I want to hear it, man. Tell me. He said, well, I got a grandmother lived up in Mountain, North Carolina. He said, she was praying. She said, there's somebody down here who needs a school bill paid. He said, Grandma, he said, there's always, every semester, somebody needs their school bill paid. He said, she said, well, go find out who it is. She said, he went in there, asked the secretary, whose school bill needs to be paid? She said, there were three. He thought, Grandma messed up. She gave him three names of three guys that need their school bill paid. And he said, you were one of them. And I said, yeah. I said, how'd you pick me? How'd you pick me? He said, I called Grandma up. And I said, Grandma, you didn't pray right because you messed up. There are three guys that need their school bill paid. She goes, no, you go back and find out who has a little boy. He goes back in. He says, man, Grandma. He said, who has a little boy? Just said, Alan Ryman's got a little boy named Samson. And he said, Grandma told me that. And he said, here's the money. I counted it. He's walking away. My school bill was $150. He gave me $160. And I went, hey, man, you gave me too much money. He said, go buy your wife a hamburger, man. God takes care of even the minute details. You know what? The giants will make you run. I mean, fear of man bringeth a snare. The fear of man tries to get you to run away from the problems. I think back, like I said, Earl Hughes saying, give yourself to suffering. I don't know how many times I wanted to run. Many times I preached babies' funerals. Little baby. First funeral I ever did with three little babies burned up in the fire. I wanted to run. I didn't want to preach no babies' funerals. I preached a bunch of them. And I'm going to tell you something. Giants are going to come. Things are going to come. It's going to make you want to run. Might be finance, might be whatever, little church problems, little things, little stupid things. But they can be a giant to you. They can be a giant. David learned that, man, I'm just going to stand. I'm not going to go back. I'm not going to stay home. I'm going to keep going and thank God for the men and women God gave me to go with me into battle. Look on down. Look what it says. It says, Abishai, verse 17, the son of Zeruiah secured him and smote the Philistines and killed him. And then the men of David sweared on them, saying, thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, but thou shalt not quench the light of Israel. And it came to pass after this that there was again a battle that in the Philistines of Gob. And then it goes on down, verse 19, and there was again a battle in Gob of the Philistines. And then it says there was yet a battle in Gath, which hath a man of great stature, that had on every hand 6 fingers and on every foot 6 toes, 4 and 20 in number. He also was born to the giants. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimei, the brother of David, slew him. And these four were born to the giants in Gath and fell. Now look what it says. It fell. God gives David the credit. It fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. He said David had a hand in all of it. David started out as a young man, willing to face whatever battle it was. Even as he got older, he was willing to face the battles, willing to go out, willing to fight. I'm telling you something, folks. Never, ever give up. Never back up. Never shut up. Keep going. Just don't sit at home. Don't sit around feeling sorry for yourself. Most Christians sit around and feel sorry for themselves. They'll think, well, I deserve better. No, you don't deserve. What you deserve to be in hell with your back broken, your eyes scratched out. That's what you deserve. That's what I deserve. You say, well, I don't feel that way. I'll tell you what, you will one day when you see what God's got prepared for you and I. Man, the past fights is not going to be the ones that's going to keep you going. The ones that you're facing today, the things that you got to go through today. You always be preparing. You know what David was doing all the time with his men? They were always preparing for battle. You said, man, as long as you live, you better be ready for battle. Why? God tells you, put on the whole armor of God. You know what David, you know what Paul said? He said, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I fought a good fight. There's a fight. This life is a fight. And you're going to fight, man, you're going to fight the flesh. The worst enemy you have, we got three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The worst enemy you and I have is me. Yeah, me, myself. I'm my own worst enemy. You're your own worst enemy. We'll blame the devil for a lot of things. We'll blame the world for a lot of things, but there's a lot of things the world can't do and the devil can't do, but we sure can, the flesh can. That battle is a lifetime. As long as you're breathing, that battle's going to keep on. It's going to keep coming at you. You got to continue to grow. I'll tell you this, you got to continue to praise God. You know what made David so great of a man? What made David such a great man? You read the book of Psalms. David praised God all the time. Man, even when he messed up with Bathsheba, he judged himself. You know, the Bible tells us this, if we judge ourselves, we'll not be judged. Judge sin in your own life. So that's wrong. That's wrong. God, help me to quit that. Help me not to do that, Lord. David was a man after God's own heart. Let me ask you something. Does God have a place in your heart? Does he have your whole heart? He wants it. He wants to be everything to you. My brother was talking about that thorn in the flesh. You can live with that, but man, that thing in the eye can blind you. You don't want to go that far. Man, David was a man after God's own heart, and David wanted anything that would take him away from God, anything that would affect him, he wanted to get it out and get it right. The giants that face. You're going to have giants. You're going to have giants the rest of your life. But you better learn how to fight. You better learn how to stand. You better learn how to get a hold of God. The things that come into your life, it's going to come, and it's going to come to destroy you. It's not going to play games. It's like the Amorites, just like all the rest of the Gittites and everything else. They didn't want to coexist with them. They wanted to destroy them. You look at what's going on with Israel right now. They don't want to coexist with Israel. They want to destroy them. And that's exactly where it is. And you got to learn to fight. Christians say, well, I don't think we should do that. So, I mean, I'm talking about fight against the flesh, a world, and the devil. And I'm talking about, man, just getting to the place where you think, you know, a lot of Christians, they think, well, I've done my time serving God. No, man. No, this thing is a lifetime. This is not just a thing that we do on Sunday. This is my life. The Christian, people say, they use that name Christian a lot, but I'll tell you what, being a Christian is a life. It's a life. It's a lifestyle. It's a living, breathing life that we have as a Christian. And we got to learn to fight this battle, fight this flesh, fight, man, the things of this world that's coming at us. We see it all the time. You see what is education. We sit around getting mad. You see what the educational board's trying to do to the kids, teaching the kids, and trying to push all this stuff, LGBTQ and all that stuff on their kids, and tell them all this and keep it from the families. It's a fight. It's a fight. And man, the TV set, the stuff they're throwing on there, it's a fight. On the internet, it's a fight. Boy, and that battle is going to be continuous. You better learn to fight. You better learn to get a hold of God. And the way a Christian fights, if you read Ephesians chapter 6, here's the way we fight. On our knees with the whole armor of God.
Amen.
That's the way we fight. God, do something. God, help us. As a church, there's churches that's closing up around this country. Man, they're shutting down. This brother has been traveling around. He knows what I'm talking about. There's churches shutting down. There's people going off deep end. I went out to Michigan, and Brother Jack Patterson took me to a church. We pulled up, and I thought, man, this is a beautiful church. It's in Dearborn, Michigan. It's called Faith Baptist Church. I said, man, that's the name of our church. Man, what a beautiful church. It's like a 40,000 square foot building. He said they just sold it to the Muslims. I said, man, they ought to whoop that pastor for doing that, that congregation. They ought to whoop them. That's terrible, selling it to the Muslim. Why? So they can have some kind of temple in there.
Yep.
Man, churches like this, like I said last night, we're dinosaurs. We got to stand for what we believe and keep the fight, keep the faith. Stay close to God.
Amen.
David was a battle. He was a soldier. David had mighty men. And man, David, those mighty men was willing to fight to the last man. I went to Israel, and I know this. I told our church, I said, Israel's not going to, they're not going to let up now. They're not letting up. Even though all the pressure of the world's putting on them, they're not going to let up. I said, right now would be a good time for the Antichrist to step in. Right now would be a great time. And I believe it could happen. But I went over to Israel, and the guy pointed out, I don't know if y'all ever read about Masada. If you go home tonight, look up Masada. And that's where Israel's last stand before the Romans came in and they took them into slavery and all that stuff, and they dispersed around the world. And the Romans came up, and Masada was a mountaintop, a plateau. And Israel stayed up there with all the women and children and men, and they stayed there to fight with the Romans. And then finally, when they realized they were going to be captured, the Romans took Jewish slaves and built a road up to Masada. And when they realized they were going to take them into slavery, they said, we'd rather die than to go in slavery. So what they did, they voted to kill all the women and children. The women and children decided, kill us. And they killed all the women and children so they wouldn't be enslaved. And they fought, they killed each man all the way down to the last man. They say this, they said they take the Israeli troops, they take them to Masada, and they tell them the story. They said, we will not kill each other to the last man. We're going to fight to the last man. That's what we're going to do. We'll fight to the last man. And we know our Bibles that when the Antichrist comes in the Valley of Megiddo, and men, they're going to come out there and they're going to go after Israel and try to annihilate them. We know that's going to happen. They're going to fight to the last man. And you know, as Christians, we're fighting a spiritual warfare. Our battle, if it was physical, it'd be something different. You could see the enemy, but we can't see the enemy other than looking in the mirror. We got to fight, and we got to learn to fight. We got to learn to get a hold of God, amen. And our fight is on our knees. Are you going? You going to lay down like they did in Masada? They killed each other. You know what Christians are doing? They're trying to kill each other. Israel made up their mind this time. We're not going to do that. We're going to fight to the last man, as Christians. Let's stand. All right, let's go. Brother, go ahead.